Saying, "The reader's reports in the case of your manuscript would not be very helpful and I think might discourage you completely," said, "Don't listen to Alfred Knopf. Who does Alfred Knopf think he is anyway? Someone should go in there and knock his block off." To the best of my recollection, that is what she said. I also recall her taking me on or about March 8, my birthday, to the theater in New York every year, beginning in childhood. I remember those journeys as if they were today. I remember A Connecticut Yankee, Wednesday, March 8, 1944. Evidently, my father had written for the tickets because she and I sat in the last row of the second balcony. Mother knew what to do about that. She gave me for my birthday an elegant spyglass, sufficient in power to bring the Connecticut Yankee back from Vermont. I sat there watching the play through my telescope, drawing as many guffaws from the surrounding audience as the comedy on the stage. On one of those theater days, when I was 11 or 12, I asked her if we could start for the city early and go out to LaGuardia Field to see the comings and goings of airplanes. The temperature was well below the freeze point, and the March winds were so blustery that the wind chill factor was 40 below zero, or seemed to be. My mother figured out how to take the subway to a stop in Jackson Heights and a bus from there, a feat I am unable to duplicate to this day. At LaGuardia, she accompanied me to the observation deck and stood there in the icy wind for at least an hour, maybe two, while I, spellbound, watched the DC-3s coming in on final, their wings flapping in the gusts. When we at last left the observation deck, we went downstairs into the terminal, where she bought me what appeared to be a black rubber ball, but on closer inspection was a pair of hollow hemispheres hinged on one side and folded together. They contained a silk parachute. Opposite the hinge, each hemisphere had a small nib. A piece of string wrapped around and round the two nibs kept the ball closed. If you threw it high into the air, the string unwound and the parachute blossomed. If you sent it up with a tennis racket, you could put it into the clouds. Not until the development of the multi-megabyte hard disk would the world ever know such a fabulous toy. Folded just so, the parachute never failed. Always it floated back to you, silkily, beautifully, to start over and float back again. Even if you abused it, whacked it really hard, gracefully, lightly, it floated back to you. Season on the Chalk. The massive chalk of Europe lies below the English Channel, under much of northern France, under bits of Germany and Scandinavia, under the Limburg province of the Netherlands, and from Erythreach to Gravesend, under 15 miles of the lower Thames. My grandson Tommaso appears out of somewhere and picks up a cobble from the bottom of the Thames. The tide is out. The flats are broad between the bank and the water. Small boats, canted, are at rest on the riverbed. Others, farther out on the wide river, are moored afloat. Skiffs, sloops, a yawl or two. Tommaso is 10. The rock in his hand is large but light. He breaks it against the revetment bordering the Gordon Promenade in the Riverside Leisure area, with benches and lawns under oaks and chestnuts, prams and children, picnics underway, newspapers spread like sails, and far up the bank, a stall selling ice cream. He cracks the cobble into jagged pieces which are whiter than snow. Chalked graffiti line the revetment and have attracted the attention of Tommaso, who now starts his own with the letter R. One of the stranded skiffs is painted a bright orange, and large letters on its tilted upside say, "The Crown and Thistle Public House." A yellow skiff, also askew, says the terrorist.